Hare Krishna. Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, second canto, chapter 4, entitled The Process of Creation. Today we'll be reading two verses, text number 9, text number 10. I'll just read text number 9 first, and then we'll read responsibly text number 10. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is one, whether He alone acts with the modes of material nature, or simultaneously expands in many forms, or expands consecutively to direct the modes of nature. Text number 10, translation, purport by His Divine Grace. Eksi Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Translation, kindly clear up all these doubtful inquiries, because you are not only vastly learned in the Vedic literatures and self-realized in transcendence, but are also a great devotee of the Lord, and are therefore as good as the personality of Godhead. Purport. In the Brahma Samhita, it is said that the Supreme Absolute Truth, Govinda, the personality of Godhead, although one without a second, is infallibly expanded by innumerable forms, non-different from one another, and although He is the original person, He is still ever young with permanent youthful energy. It is very difficult to know simply by learning the transcendental science of the Vedas, but He is very easily realized by His pure devotees. The expansions of different forms of the Lord, as from Krishna to Baladev to Sankarsana, from Sankarsana to Vasudev, from Vasudev to Aniruddha, from Aniruddha to Pradyumna, and then again, second Sankarsana, and from Him to Narayana, Purusha avatars, and innumerable other forms, which are compared to the constant flowing of the uncountable waves of a river, are all one and the same. They are like lamps of equal power, which kindle from one lamp to another. That is the transcendental potency of the Lord. The Vedas say that He is so complete that even though the whole complete identity emanates from Him, He still remains the same complete whole. Purnasya purnamadhaya purnameva vashishyate. As such, there is no validity in the material conception of the Lord produced by mental speculators. Thus He remains always a mystery for the mundane scholar, even if He is vastly learned in the Vedic literatures. Vedeshu durlabham adurlabham atma bhakto. Therefore the Lord is beyond the limit of conception for mundane learned scholars, philosophers or scientists. He is easily understandable for pure devotees because the Lord declares in the Bhagavad Gita 18:54 that after surpassing the stage of knowledge, when one is able to engage in devotional service of the Lord, then only can one know the true nature of the Lord. One cannot have any clear conception of the Lord or His holy name, form, attributes, pastimes, etc., unless one is engaged in His transcendental loving service. The statement of Bhagavad Gita that one must first of all surrender unto the Lord, being freed from all other engagements, means that one must become a pure, unconditional devotee of the Lord. Only then can one know Him by the strength of devotional service. Maharaj Parikshit admitted in the previous verse that the Lord is inconceivable, even for the greatest learned scholars. Why then should he again request Shukadev Goswami to clarify his insufficient knowledge about the Lord? The reason is clear. Not only was Shukadev Goswami vastly learned in Vedic literatures, but he was also a great self-realized soul and a powerful devotee of the Lord. A powerful devotee of the Lord is, by the grace of the Lord, more than the Lord Himself. The personality of Godhead, Sri Ramachandra, attempted to bridge the Indian Ocean to reach the island of Lanka. But Sri Hanumanji, the unalloyed devotee of the Personality of Godhead, could cross the ocean simply by jumping over it. The Lord is so merciful upon his pure devotee that he presents his beloved devotee as more powerful than himself. The Lord expresses himself to the unable to save Dhruva Samuni, although the Muni was so powerful that he could reach the Lord directly under material conditions. But Durvasa Muni was saved by Maharaj Ambarish, a devotee of the Lord. Therefore, not only is a devotee of the Lord more powerful than the Lord, but also worship of the devotee is considered more effective than direct worship of the Lord. Madbhakta Pujya Vidika. The conclusion is, therefore, that a serious devotee must first approach a spiritual master who not only is well versed in Vedic literatures, but is also a great devotee with factual realization of the Lord and his different energies. Without the help of such devotee, spiritual master, one cannot make progress in the transcendental science of the Lord. And a bona fide spiritual master, like Shukadeva Goswami, does not speak about the Lord only in the matter of his internal potencies, but also explains how he associates with his external potencies. The Lord's pastimes in the internal potency are displayed in his activities in Vrindavan, but his external potential works are directed in his features of Karanadakshaya Vishnu, Garbhadakshaya Vishnu, and Kshiradakshaya Vishnu. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti offers his good counsel to the interested Vaishnavas when he says that they should not be interested in hearing only about the Lord's activities like Rasalila, but must be keenly interested in his pastimes, in his features of the Purusha avatars, in connection with Srishti Tattva, creation functions. Following the example of Maharaj Parikshit, the ideal disciple, and Shukadeva Goswami, the ideal spiritual master. Hare Krishna. Om Ajnanatimirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Sthapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupakata Mahiyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Gurau Shri Yuthapadakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Badan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhau Dinabandhau Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanusute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpataru Vyascha Kripa Sindho Vyayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. I'd just like to start off with seeking the blessings of all the Vaishnavas assembled. It's been a long time since I've been asked to give class. Probably a good reason for that, but I'm not here to preach or to teach. I'm here to reach all of you, Because this verse is saying the process of devotional life is excelled, it is perfected when we reach out to the devotees of Krishna, even beyond connecting with Krishna directly. It was a very special day. It is the disappearance of our great Acharya, Madhvacharya. We come in the lineage of Madhvacharya. So we will be hearing a little bit about the glories and the life of Madhvacharya as well. That is one significant aspect of connecting with devotees. We don't just connect with any devotees. We prioritize our connection with devotees who are very significant in our either sampradaya or devotees who are significantly making contributions to this mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It is always nice, and we should always respect all Vaishnavas. But when we have to make that active connection, we do so with those devotees who are connected to the disciplic succession, connected to the mission of Srila Prabhupada and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So we'll be hearing about him. There's a very lengthy purport today, almost 2 pages. But I don't know if we felt as we were reading that Prabhupada is just giving one reference after the other, and really in his words translating different verses from the scripture, from the Brahma Samhita, from the Bhagavad Gita. Anyone caught any of the verses from the Brahma Samhita that were mentioned in this purport? At least 3. Abhay? Vedeshu Durlabham, okay. Any others? Prabhupada starts off with the first line, in the Brahma Samhita it is said. Which is the one which says, you know, although one without a second, he is infallibly expanded by innumerable forms, non-different from one another, and although he is his original, although he is the original person, innumerable forms. Which is the verse where he talks about so many forms? Rama adi murti shukala niyamena tishthan nana avataram akarod bhuvaneshu kintu Krishna swayam samabhavat paramahpumanyo govinda madhi purusham tamaham bhajami. Nice. And then later on in the verse he's talking about they're like lamps of equal power which kindle from one lamp to another. Dipachire vaidashantaram akhipetya dipayate vrithetu. And then the one Prabhu mentioned, Vedeshu Durlabham, so many paths. And actually there's another one, Panthastu Koti Shata Vatsara Sampragamya. So 3 verses just from the Brahma Samhita. And then the Ishopanishad is mentioned. Anyone remember the verse from the Ishopanishad that was mentioned in this verse? Purnamadha Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachate. That is a greatly significant philosophical verse, which really is the basis of our Siddhanta. Avachintya Bheda Bhed. Okay, and then the Bhagavad Gita. Anyone caught any of the verses that were mentioned from the Bhagavad Gita?
You were reading a little
fast. Oh, my bad. Sorry. Hare Krishna. So, just here, 1854. Anyone know what that verse is? It's talking about he is understandable only to those who are. Okay. The one after that is? So, 54 is the one which says after surpassing knowledge, but the lines before are talking about the verse after Brahma Bhuta Prasannatma, which is Bhaktyamam. avijanati. Yes. So all of this, this first section is really talking about that Supreme Personality of Godhead, that great personality who is all-powerful, who is emanating in this world, connecting all the loose ends, sutre mani ganaiva, just like the thread which is holding the necklace of pearls. The next kind of big chunk of this purport is talking about the devotee. And really how Krishna is putting the devotee first. He gives the example of Hanumanji. Hanuman was able to jump the ocean, whereas Ram had to make the bridge. Now, that has created some complication and some confusion to the mass of people, especially in India, where they're almost taking it literally that Hanuman is the one who's great, who made it possible for Ram to, you know, cross the ocean. However, the fact is here, for a devotee's understanding as well, Prabhupada is saying, look at the greatness of the devotee. He can jump the ocean and Ram has to make the bridge. Ram was on the shoulders of Hanuman fighting. Yeah? If Hanuman wasn't there, agar Hanuman nahi hote, there is a song which is, if Hanuman wasn't there, Lanka, you know, wouldn't have been burnt, Sita wouldn't have been found, the bridge wouldn't have been built. And then he is giving the example of Ambarish Maharaj as well. Ambarish Maharaj was given ownership, more or less, of Sudarshan Chakra. Once upon a time, Ashwathama also went to Dwarka and asked, can I have the Sudarshan Chakra? And Krishna said, why do you want the Sudarshan Chakra? He goes, I will use it to kill you. So Krishna said, okay, take the Sudarshan Chakra. But Ashwathama couldn't handle it and he was on the verge of dying and Krishna retracted. However, here, when the Sudarshan Chakra was let loose, then even Krishna couldn't stop the Sudarshan. And Prabhupada is glorifying that Krishna puts his bhaktas first. And that is why this reaching is more important than preaching. Now, the last kind of purport, this paragraph of the purport is talking about the significance of reaching and connecting with devotees. Of the 64 aspects of devotional service, you know, those who've read a little bit of the Nectar of Devotion, the first three, which Rupa Goswami said are the most important, are all about Guru. Taking shelter of the Guru, taking diksha from the Guru, and serving the Guru. So the Guru has a great part to play in our lives. If we have the connection with the Guru, and I think we shouldn't misunderstand that it's only not necessarily talking about diksha, because our whole parampara is not just about diksha, it is about siksha and diksha. But if we have the Guru, then Krishna is available. Without the Guru, Krishna remains hiding. Yeah? The Guru is the manifestation of Krishna, gross. So it is actually Krishna coming to the living entity in the form of Guru to connect him with Krishna. So if Krishna is taking the form of Guru to help us connect with Krishna, then automatically, just from that equation, we understand that the Guru, yasya prasadat bhagavat prasad, or sakshat dharitvena. This verse is saying the Guru is greater than Krishna, because Krishna is taking the form of Guru to deliver the soul. Does that make sense? Logically, Guru becomes greater. So devotee becomes greater. And that is really our process. First we connect with the Guru, we take initiation from a Guru, and then we live life serving the Guru. So Krishna is really much later. The Guru tells us to serve Krishna, and that way we connect, we reach Krishna. This is great. So that was more or less a synopsis of the purport. I wanted to just home in on this aspect of Krishna giving credit to the devotee. Bhaktivinoda Thakur was a great preacher, a great teacher, a great acharya in our line. And he sent the first literature of the Gaudiya tradition to the Western world. His son, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, sent the first devotee to the Western world. And Prabhupada was once asked, they could have done it. You know, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, spiritual master, they could have done the preaching. And very humble and meek way, Prabhupada said, they left the credit for me. They utilized me to give me the credit. So this theme is actually coming right from the top of the parampara, right from Lord Krishna, where Krishna is giving the credit. Now Krishna gives credit both in the theoretic, in the philosophical method, and in the very practical method as well. Krishna says in the Gita, after showing the universal form to Arjuna, he tells Arjuna, Tasmat tvam utthishta yasholabhasva, stand up, fight, get the fame. So that is, and Prabhupada is saying in that purport that, you know, everyone, all of us, we just have to act to serve Krishna and the fame is ours. You know, we get the credit. So that's a very theoretic, where in the heart Krishna says, Tejas Tejas Vinamaham Balam Balavatam Chaham, I'm the strength of the strong, the intelligence of the... So theoretically, he is giving us potency so we can get credit in this world. For every one of us, materialist, spiritualist, Krishna is acting in a way to give us credit. Whether, you know, Newton is getting the credit for the third law of motion, Hare Krishna Shishirata Gokulananda Bhagavan ki jai, Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ji ki jai, Gaur Nitai ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. And then in the practical sense, through the journey of the different pastimes of Krishna, we also learn that Krishna is very happy to always take the back, you know, back stand and let the devotees get credit. So Krishna, in the Mahabharata, there's not one example, there's many examples of where he is pushing Arjuna to get the credit. There's a pastime of Krishna where he went to win the hand of one of the wives, one of the eight wives. This is, I forget the name, if anyone remembers, and we can please remind me. But in that Swayamvar, the challenge was to pierce the eye of a fish, looking at the reflection in the water, but this time that fish was also covered by a cloth. You remember that pastime in the Krishna book? Huh? Lakshmana? No. So, this is Krishna. And that's basically my point. Arjuna, to win Draupadi, had to pierce the eye of a fish, looking at the reflection in the water. We all know that story. But only a few know the story that Krishna had a similar task. But in his task, it was more difficult because the fish was covered with a cloth. So you had to first figure out where the eye of the fish is and then in the reflection pierce the fish. But not many know about that. We all know about Arjuna's piercing the fish, the eye of the fish. So the credit, the fame, as soon as we hear that fish, we hear about Arjuna. But Krishna did a similar task, which is even more harder, but very few know. Does that make... Krishna is giving. The devotees are more famous than Krishna himself, where Krishna is doing the harder tasks. Krishna is known for running away from the battlefield. Very seldom do we hear about the 17 times or the 21 times that Jarasandha was defeated single-handedly by Krishna. But we all know that Krishna ran away from the battlefield. Krishna has his own taste of what fame he wants. There's a pastime where 10 sons of one Brahmana were killed, died after birth. This is in Dwarka. Krishna had been approached probably the 9 times before. Balaram had been approached. Pradyumna Aniruddha had been approached. But none were able to save the children. Arjuna comes into the assembly once, and then the Brahmana comes and he's basically using bad language, talking about all the big Maharathis who cannot protect his child. So then Arjuna says, wait a minute, you can't blaspheme Krishna like this. I will save your children. And then he says, well, Krishna, Balaram, Pradyumna, Aniruddha were not able to. How are you going to be able? And Arjuna says, well, they don't have the Gandiva. They're not the best like me. And then Krishna obviously is, okay, good. That's something he likes to hear, where the devotee is saying he's better than Krishna. Anyhow, the 10th child is born, the 10th child dies as well. Arjuna is ready to take his jump into the fire pit. Krishna says, Prabhu, at least we have to try. Yeah, so let's try to find. So then he goes, he takes Arjuna, they go to Yamaraj, they go to Brahmaloka, they go everywhere. There's no children to be found. So then Krishna says, okay, let's go. And he takes Arjuna to Shvetadvip. And there, all the children are there. So at the end, when all the children are got back, everyone's glorifying Arjuna. And Krishna, he was the charioteer. The hero of the Mahabharata war is Arjuna. Krishna is just Partha Sarathi. So that is Krishna. And here we hear about, you know, Hanuman, Ambarish Maharaj. But the Chaitanya Charitamrita is telling all of us to really take advantage of this proposal that Krishna wants us to be more powerful, more great, more famous than him. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he's saying, I've got all these fruits of love of God, but I cannot do it myself. I need help from you. Yeah, Krishna, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is putting us on the pedestal and saying, I need help from you to distribute these fruits. Please help. Bhaktivinod Thakur is singing, Chalo, I will take you to the marketplace and I will get my commission. We are humble devotees, but we should not leave out this commission that Krishna is giving. Bhaktivinod Thakur is not giving the commission. He wants that commission because that commission is love of God. So when we act as that connecting agent between the living entity and Krishna, then whether we have or we don't have, we will get the love of God because that is the commission. Yeah? The businessman is very conscious in giving commission to his agents. Because he knows these are the agents that are going to get me business. Yeah? He will always make sure the commission reaches the agent. And similarly, Krishna will always make sure the agent gets the commission. Whether that person becomes a devotee or not, you will get the commission. All these devotees with Prabhupada was so happy when he saw, you know, whether it's book scores or devotees trying to become, instruments in connecting the devotees or living entities with Krishna. Because he knows the commission is growing. Commission for everyone is growing and his commission is growing. And that commission is love of God. So please, anxiously, we should be jumping for getting this commission. Because when we get the commission, naturally, automatically, we will be happy. You know, what have the devotees really done? We just celebrated 50 years of ISKCON. In just 50 years, the great achievements of the devotees is not on personal sadhana or, you know, personal yogic emancipation. It is on preaching. It is on the great temples, the great centers that have been built, the great books that have been distributed, the great number of people that have been connected with Krishna. That is how devotees have become so great, because they have a lot of commission. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. So we're going to speak a few words about Madhvacharya. We have a few minutes left. Madhvacharya, I wanted to share with you all, is a great personality in our Brahma Gaudiya Vaishnava Parampara, because Madhvacharya, he bridges the gap. He bridges the gap between the many, many years and generations in our parampara. Krishna, Brahma, Narada, Vyas, Madhva. He's number 5. Srila Prabhupada is 32. The years between Madhvacharya and Srila Prabhupada today, 32, is a few hundred. But the generation of Vyas and Madhva, close to many, many years. If we say that it was during the Bhagavatam that Narada became the guru of Vyas, then even then, 5,000 years. Yeah. So Madhvacharya is basically bridging our gap in the many, many generations where paramparas are lost. And he's connecting us directly with Vyasadev. Vyasadev is considered to be the Adi Guru. Guru Purnima, or the Purnima, or the great day of the Guru, is the day of Vyas, Vyasadev. This asan is called Vyas asan, the asan of this Adi Guru, Srila Vyas. Madhva is our link, is our connection with Vyasadev. So, great contribution. Madhvacharya is said to be the incarnation of Vayu, the incarnation of Hanuman, incarnation of Bhim. Incarnation or brother. His parents, for some 12 years, did austerities at the Anantapadmanabha temple to get a child. For 12 years, they only had milk. I mean, that's amazing, right? Madhavendra Puri, he would have one cup of milk, right? The dona, the leaf cup. For 12 years, they had only milk. Those who say that dairy is not good for you, here, just by milk, 12 years, they had the blessings of Anantadev. And Anantadev is said to have instructed Vayu to take the form of their child. And that is Madhvacharya. Madhvacharya was a personality who expressed all types of potency. His first demon, Krishna killed the first demon when he was 10 days, yeah, Putana. Madhvacharya, he was still also in the lap, or a toddler, just able to crawl when he killed the first demon. That was in the form of a snake. Madhvacharya, he displayed different potencies at the age of 6. His father, his parents weren't very, very rich. They were, you know, many times in debt. So one day, the person who was the landlord, or the person, the creditor, he came and he threatened to usurp the property of Madhvacharya's parents. And this was when he was 6 years old. So obviously a great cause of distress to the parents. Madhvacharya asked, what is happening here? And somehow he found out that money was the requirement. So then he went to his back garden. There was a tamarind tree there. And he took out some of the dry seeds of the tamarind and he gave it to the landlord. He says, you want money? He goes, yes, you owe me this much. So as soon as he took his hand, the landlord saw all of those tamarind seeds had become gold coins. He said, is that enough? Yes. And the landlord went. So, talking about devotee and Krishna, today's kind of session, the purport is all about this. Krishna did something similar, right? When the fruit vendor came, in exchange of fruits, Krishna filled the basket with gold, jewels and everything. Madhvacharya also, in exchange of seeds, he turned them into gold coins. So there's great significance why they say have your five a day, fruits and seeds, because look what happens. Krishna and the devotee, they have great potencies. I will conclude in telling a last story about Madhvacharya, which is probably the most famous kind of main contribution of Madhvacharya, not on the philosophy side, but from the establishment side. He established the Krishna Mutt in Udupi. Udupi, if you've not been there, is one of the Divya Deshams. It is one of the most beautiful and auspicious places to be. Just like Srirangam, the whole city is based on running around the schedule of Krishna, Sri Ranganath. Udupi, on the western side of India, is another town which basically runs according to the schedule of Udupi Krishna. It's very beautiful. Every day there is a procession in the town. Krishna comes out on a chariot. He's got a gold chariot, silver chariot, wooden chariot, all different types of chariots. And he's coming out in procession. Everyone closes business. They all come out. You know, they all take darshan of Krishna. There's fireworks. There is comedians dancing. There is elephants. It's amazing. Everything revolves around Udupi Krishna. Udupi Krishna has a great history as well. Once Devaki in Dwarka was very anxious to see Krishna in the form of Shamsundar. Not Shamsundar, in the form of Gopal or baby Krishna. And she requested her son, Krishna, Dwarkadish, to show this form. He showed the form. And she had her little few moments of experiencing Krishna and Vrindavan. Rukmini got to hear this. And she said, can I also see? And Krishna told Rukmini that, look, you know, me running around without kopins in front of my mother is okay. But me running without kopins in front of you, I cannot do. So, I cannot really show you this form of Bal Gopal. But what I can do is I can fashion a deity for you. So Vishwakarma was invited to fashion a deity of Krishna. Now this deity of Krishna is holding a stick in one hand, and in the other hand he is holding the kind of a mix, a food item. A similar depiction that, you know, Brahmaji, he is being so absorbed, or he is being baffled by seeing Krishna eating something in his left hand, and half of it is dripping all over his sleeve, all over his hand. It's a really messy job. So that beautiful form of Krishna holding a stick and a food item in his left hand, that is the deity of Udupi Krishna. That was fashioned for Rukmini. Now Rukmini obviously worshipped that deity for many years, but later on it was put into Gopikund. Gopikund is that place where we all have this tilak. It all comes from a kund in Dwarka. That deity over time had kind of really absorbed all the chandan, and it had become quite a bulky piece. And one businessman found it and he used it as a weight balance in his ship. What to do, you know? We don't know what's inside where. So This balance was used in a ship. One day this ship was crossing, going from Dwarka to the southern India for business. And it got stuck in the rocks off the beach of Malpe or off the beach of Udupi. And we've seen those rocks are still there. That beach is still there. The Baithak of Madhvacharya is there. So basically he was doing his sadhana on the beach, and he was asked for help. So without wanting to be disturbed, he simply took his top cloth. He waved his top cloth, and the wind that was produced from the waving of the top cloth dislodged the boat from the stones. And this way, the ship was rescued. So the devotee, the person on the ship, businessman, he was very grateful, and he said, "Look, what can I give you?" Madhvacharya saw this stone or this big piece of chandan. He goes, "You know, we have to go to Dwarka to get, let's just take the whole stone." And he said, "Can I have this bulk of chandan?" So the businessman said, "Yes, please, you take." So Madhvacharya then took the whole stone, big piece of chandan, and he walked about 2.5 kilometers. There's some histories there that even when he asked everyone else, there were about 30, 35 people, they could not lift that stone, that piece of chandan. But Madhvacharya, one shoulder, Aramthi, he walked from the beach to the temple. Then he went and he wanted to wash that stone. So there's a lake just in the courtyard of this temple where he washed this stone. And from the washing of this stone immersed the beautiful form of Udupi Krishna. Now, the lake is still there, the temple is still there, and like in many temples, when you go to Udupi Krishna, you have to be topless, except for the Matajis. All men, only lungi, or only dhoti allowed, or trousers, whatever they wear, but they have to take off the top. No banyan, no kurta, no jacket, you go topless in front of Krishna. And Udupi Krishna, you also have to see from a door, there is holes in the door, and you see Udupi Krishna from there. So there's many histories of Udupi Krishna, but it's a very auspicious place, very beautiful. You know, the best dosas I've had is in Udupi, in Udupi Krishna. But we used to go there from Gurukul every year, and we've met the acharyas of Madhva. So the tradition of Madhvacharya took sannyas when he was about 8. The acharyas that are there now, or I think the last one was passed away, very good relationship. ISKCON and the Madhva Mutt have had a great debate once upon a time to establish the identity of ISKCON as being a disciplic member of the Madhvacharya. They had to have a big debate. And devotees from Mayapur, they went and they had a whole, you know, extensive debate, and the result of the debate was that all the sannyasis or the gurus in that mutt, they all accepted that ISKCON very much is part of this disciplic succession coming down from Madhvacharya. So great glory to ISKCON. ISKCON is there in the celestial realms as well, glorified as very much being part of this connection. So all glories to Madhvacharya, all glories to Srila Prabhupada, all glories to the Vaishnavas. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Nitai Gaur Premanande Hari Hari Bol. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. I don't think we have time for questions, but I hope that was of some value, and please forgive any shortcomings. Hare Krishna.